From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of January 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett should join us too from Bennett Consulting Channel C's to take a look at the marketplace and what's been happening in the cash grain situation. As we close out our time together, we'll talk with Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He'll tell us all about the weather in Argentina. It's not that great still. He's got some commentary and some thoughts about weather there and in Brazil. You'll want to stick around for that. And we'll check in on the agricultural news for the afternoon, mostly from Washington, D.C., right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Are you enjoying warmer weather there, or are you getting the cold too?
We're pretty cold for Texas. I'm down here in the valley, with only about 5 miles from Mexico, and it's still only 35, so it's awfully cold for this time of year, even in South Texas. But I think the forecast has us going back to the 70s by Saturday, so it's going to be a quick warm-up.
Well, better there than here, because it's been cold and it stayed cold, although we're going to have a little warm-up by the time we get to the weekend as well. I want to know where you think corn and soybeans stand on this day technically and looking forward after the USDA reports from last week.
Well, I think the USDA reports, since the bean supply number came in smaller than what the average trade guess was, and the balance sheet showed a slight tightening of soybeans, and then we're starting to have more talk out of Argentina that maybe the bean crop is maybe down 4 million tons from what they maybe thought it was going to be 2-3 weeks ago. That has, I think, put a bottom end of a sideways trading range in soybeans. As you could tell, soybeans have been basically in a big decline ever since the first part of December. We started trying to go sideways there during the last 10 days of December. And then we kind of went down in front of the report. And then after the report, we had a nice reversal, daily reversal to the upside. And now the market has been able to extend on that this week. So looking at March soybean futures, it looked like we had a low around 945 here. And now we're up here around 972. So we have had a 25 to 30 cent bounce in soybeans. Now, corn continues the same old. It's in a 340, 360 sideways trading range, and we've closed at 351 here today. Now, we did have a little hook reversal to the downside in corn today. Whether or not that has any downside follow through to finish out the week, but it does look like we're going to finish out the week higher unless we have a big down day. So the corn market continues to kind of go sideways. I think now that the final production report is behind us, that's usually the final nail in the coffin of the old crop. And now the market then begins to look ahead to what maybe new crop prospects could be or may be. As we move into the spring months, of course, weather will be a key factor in that. I've already seen one survey taken of farmers, and they're basically looking at acreage levels staying unchanged for both corn and soybeans, or relatively unchanged anyway. But we'll begin to hear more and more acreage estimates as we go down the road. And of course, the dryness in Argentina will take on increasing importance unless they get something meaningful rain in there to kind of stop the deterioration. We have lost the edge, I think, on corn production also, whether it's 2 million tons or 4 million tons. But it does look like the corn crop in Argentina is coming down a little bit. The soybean crop in Argentina is coming down a little bit. So that is helping us out on that front. The other thing that's been helping us out is the weakness of the dollar. The dollar has been basically in a year decline. I mean, it made a high, and it basically went lower through most of 17. It did have a little bubble up there in the fall, but now we've went on to make new lows for the decline off that high point that we had here a year ago, January. So dollar weakness probably is not as important as maybe it was a few years back, but that in its by itself maybe gives us an opportunity to stay competitively priced in the export world market. So, you know, there are some positive signs, but we're still waiting around for a major crop event to shorten up supplies. It doesn't look like things could get terribly bad in Argentina, but we could still see some more deterioration out of South America. But if the big crop decline is going to have to come here in the U.S. this summer if we're going to have a major rally in corn and soybeans.
Shorter term, does your cycle timing tell you there will be highs anytime in the next month and a half?
Well, my cyclical work implies this market could strengthen kind of through the month of February, maybe on into the first part of March. Now, that may be everybody's excited about that in the short run. If that is the case, that we could see some price strengthening here the last half of January and as we go on into February. But in the long run, that would be more bearish, because what that would do would be increase the prices of the insurance products, and then that would ensure or encourage those acreage levels or even larger acres to be planted. So while that could be friendly short term for everybody that's got old crop inventory, it could be more bearish longer term if it encourages larger production or larger plantings as we go on into the 2018 crop year.
Is there much variation between your cycle timing for corn and soybeans, and would it favor one or the other in the month of February?
Beans are still the commodity that I think has to lead the market higher simply because it has the best demand tables. And then now, since we are getting some deterioration in Argentina, I think that has to be the leader. But as a rule, corn and soybeans will go up and down together. Now, every once in a while, you know, one commodity will gain on the other depending upon what the fundamentals are, and that will be the leader. But corn, for the most part, has always been a follower. The two leaders in commodities have always been the soybeans or wheat. Corn is kind of a follower, but ever since we've started grinding 5 billion bushels of corn for ethanol, corn has kind of taken on a little different shape, and sometimes it's the leader in instances, at least during the heydays when we were expanding on ethanol production. But now that we're kind of leveled out, at least on new plants and whatnot, it's probably not as much of a factor. But both of them are going to kind of go up together here. Corn is more in a sideways to higher trend. When you look at the Central Illinois cash corn prices, we're just steadily grinding higher. We're making new highs, you know, for the move out of the harvest low. Soybeans, you know, we weakened into late December, early January. So soybeans, if they're actually taking off out of a late seasonal low, then that's something to kind of watch. But for the most part, I think they're both in alignment here to show normal seasonal strength of price increases as we go on into the growing season. Now, how much magnitude that is, that's probably up for debate, whether or not we gain 5 cents over the next month or we gain 15 cents. But I do think seasonally the prices are at least ripe or in position to kind of strengthen. But we've got an awful lot of farmers that's going to have to move a lot of inventory into the marketplace here before spring. So that's going to be a little difficult to get a major rally unless we see a major shakeup someplace in the world. I know Jimmy Rogers is out promoting that this is a time to invest in agriculture. It might be, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see any great returns in the next year or two. But we're basically waiting around for a weather event to take supplies lower because the current farm program, the current insurance program is going to encourage those acres to be planted. And if we have favorable weather, we're going to have a real big crop and we're going to continue to build on inventory. So what we're hoping for is that we have a smaller crop so we can get prices higher.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, let's start with trade and NAFTA, but not agriculture. Politico reports Senator Tim Scott's state of South Carolina has a lot riding on the NAFTA renegotiations. The state claims the auto industry there ranks number one among exports of fully assembled passenger vehicles and tires, and it employs about 158,000 people. The South Carolina senator seems to have been pretty miffed when the Trump administration's chief trade negotiator, Robert Lighthizer, failed to return his call. The reality, says Scott, is I don't ask for much. You cannot call me back, but you cannot disrespect companies and the trade partner that is South Carolina. Well, the Republican lawmaker made his comments Wednesday at a Finance Committee hearing to consider confirmations of two of the United States Trade Representative's deputies. And while Lighthizer stopped by Senator Scott's office later that day, the lawmaker said he wasn't ready to lift his hold on the nominees. Scott's move is the latest hurdle that's keeping Lighthizer from fully staffing his top offices. Let's stay with trade. There could be a big fine coming for China. President Donald Trump warned yesterday that the United States could slap a big fine on China for policies and practices that force American companies to transfer technology or that have led to the loss of valuable U.S. intellectual property. We have a very big intellectual property potential fine going, which is going to come out soon, Trump told Reuters in an interview during which his economic advisor, Gary Cohn, was present. The president was commenting on the results of a Section 301 investigation launched last year by Lighthizer. He indicated the five-month-old probe found the United States has been badly hurt by China's forced technology and intellectual property practices. We're talking about big damages. We're talking about numbers that you haven't even thought about, Trump said. Industry experts are eager to see the extent of damages found by the investigation, since that could be the basis for the size of any retaliatory action imposed by the United States. That could be in the form of tariffs, investment restrictions, or a trade case at the World Trade Organization. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but we'll switch to the Farm Bill. The House Agriculture Committee is waiting for an official 10-year estimate of its new draft of the bill, but remains on track to unveil legislation in March, according to Chairman Mike Conaway of the House Agriculture Committee. The Texas Republican says he needs to see a score from the Congressional Budget Office to make sure, quote, we can afford the proposal. That's highlighting how, in the politics of the Farm Bill, money talks. Agriculture lawmakers are under no illusion that additional funding will be available for the next Farm Bill, so they're driving toward one that won't increase the federal deficit. The current 2014 Farm Bill is projected to cost about $875 billion over a decade, but the CBO is expected to update that estimate this month. Let's stay with trade, but we'll switch countries. Brazil is considering removing a 20% tariff on ethanol imports, from the United States. An agricultural official from Brazil said Wednesday the decision could depend on the U.S. lifting a ban on fresh beef exports from Brazil, that according to Reuters. Brazil imposed the ethanol tax last year on U.S. imports that exceed a 600 million liter annual quota to protect local producers, but the tariff was also seen as retaliation to the U.S. ban on shipments of fresh beef from Brazil following a food safety scandal. The ban on fresh beef exports could be lifted by April, according to Brazil, which claims the nation has submitted all materials requested by the United States to address concerns over beef exports. Brazil says it's waiting for the United States to decide whether the issue is resolved. And finally today, Cargill has signed a joint venture agreement with the largest North American producer of pea protein, stepping into the plant-based protein market. The agreement with Puris is called a game changer in terms of taste and vertical integration in plant-based protein, that according to Cargill officials. Meat industry publication Meeting Place reports Cargill's financial backing and market reach will drive significant expansion of the operation by Puris globally. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news. We're now joined by Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural cash grain marketplace. Hey, Matt, thanks so much. Sounds like you are traveling today. What you up to?
Yeah, I spoke at the Farm Futures Business Summit in Centerville, Iowa, there earlier this morning, basically just talking commodity markets and some trends coming into 2018, some ways to be able to navigate through this market.
What are farmers in Iowa concerned about? Did they ask anything particular of you?
Well, I think it's similar as to a lot of other places. I mean, there's obviously concerns with, what kind of opportunities they're going to get to market at a profit. You know, you can talk about profitability calculators all you want, but unfortunately, some producers are still struggling mightily to find black ink with a conservative yield in the prices that we're looking at today. So, certainly, people don't want to see lower crop insurance averages in the month of February than what we saw last year. But currently, it sure looks like it would be an uphill battle on corn or beans to be able to even meet those prices, let alone exceed them.
Anything that you can tell them to help them in the marketing process for those new crop products?
Well, we got to keep in mind part of the reason that these prices are so deflated, if you will, is these yields have been phenomenal. So, we just continue to beat the drum of, take your five-year yield history. You've got to look at that. Use that in your profitability spreadsheet because the bottom line is you can probably find more black ink than what you think with the kind of production we've had. Production has continued to be a pleasant surprise for most producers in the last several years if they would go ahead and realize that they're probably doing even better than what they thought. Bottom line, they can make some incremental sales earlier in the year when there's carry in the market instead of waiting until they're in a situation where basis is wide and futures prices are lower.
Anything on the fundamental side of the market that you see today that will be helpful in the near term?
Well, I guess the thing that I want to say more than anything is new crop price on soybeans is awfully close to $10. I think that if you look at what's going on in South America, the weather is not that bad. Bottom line, we're still this close to 10. I don't want to ignore that. Absolutely, let's make an incremental sale or two. I think the weak dollar has certainly been something that we need to keep in mind. It could be a great benefit to us down the road. Bottom line, though, can you make money at 9.94 beans? Yeah, I think you can. Let's make a sale or two.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and I appreciate you taking the time. Have a safe drive back. Are you coming back to Illinois or headed somewhere else?
I'm coming back for the week. Thank goodness.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Always great being here.
We have talked over and over and over about weather in Argentina, and it still is playing in the marketplace. What's happening there today?
Well, the big story in Argentina is that we've seen some rain over the last 7 days. Rain was a little bit spottier than we would have liked, but several areas did receive 1 to 2 inches, including a pretty big rainfall just 2 days ago in southern Cordoba, which is one of the key corn and soybean areas. So you would immediately think to yourself and conclude, well, things are quickly improving in Argentina and it's no longer a problem. But if you take a look at some of the rainfall data and pull it back a little bit and look at it over the last 30 to 60, even the last 90 days, you easily conclude that they still need a lot more rain. As of Tuesday morning, only 2% of soybean production in Argentina have been wetter than normal over the last 30 days. That would be 125% of their normal rainfall or greater. That means that 98% of that crop only had normal or below normal rainfall over the prior 30 days, and we need more rain to start to wipe out some of that dryness. Now, again, we did see a little bit of rain right after that cutoff period, so you could argue that maybe the true number is closer to 10% than 2%, but either way, we need more rain. As we move forward, we'll see some decent rains in the northern growing areas. The northern area is a little bit different than some of the central and southern areas because they plant there the latest. So they're only planting right now. Their last planting date is pretty much coming up here this week. Their planting has been delayed by dryness, but now they're going to receive a lot of rain. So for those farmers who can plant there, things will start to look a little bit better for that late planted crop, which is a very small percentage of their production, but still it does count. For everybody else, we'll see a few thunderstorms here and there over the next 7 to 10 days. But it just doesn't look like we're going to see a real big rain. Now, that being said, very small changes in upper level systems or the locations of cool fronts coming up would quickly lead to more rain than we're forecasting. But at this point, everything says that we should stay drier than normal over the next 10 days, after which it's a little bit hard to say what's going to happen. Todd, if this forecast holds up, then we're still going to need more rain going into February. And remember, February is kind of like August in the U.S. That's the important month for them for soybeans. So we really would like to see those big rains now, and then that would help to take some of the pressure off rains in February.
A quick word on Brazil for me, please.
Well, some of the northern areas of Brazil are drier than normal as well, similar to Argentina. But once we run our numbers, we're only looking at 10 to 20, maybe 25% of their soybean production is a little bit dry. However, they've also had a lot of soybeans that are wet, a near equal proportion, with the rest having been seasonable as far as rainfall goes. So the Brazil story just isn't as compelling as what we have in Argentina. You can argue that there are some dry spots here and there, but overall, those dry spots are probably being corrected by some of those wet spots. So by the time you put it all together, a fairly typical growing season is taking place in Brazil. We do have some decent rains coming up in some of those drier areas, but it's not for another week. So the timing is here a little tricky because we really would like to see those big rains right now. They're going to hold here again for about 7, 8, maybe 9 or 10 days.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you next week.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.